Mesechtas Nozir, Daf Nun Aleph, the top line of Daf Nun Aleph and Aleph. And we ended off yesterday and we were discussing the fourth case of the 11 cases that the Mishnah brought down on Daf Mem Tesem Beis, where Nozir would become Tumi Meis and the Dinim of Tumas Nozir would apply, and therefore that Nozir would have to go through the entire process of becoming Tar from Tumas Meis, which of course includes that he has to have the Hazar of the Paraduma on the third and seventh day and go to the Mikvah on the seventh day, and then because he's a Nozir, he would have to bring three Kabbalah. He would have to bring the Hashem Nazir, Achatas Oif and Oilus Oif, and he would also have to shave off his hair. And in addition, he would forfeit any days that he already counted towards the Naziris, and he would have to start the Naziris all over, as the Pasuk states, Vayom Rishonim Yiplu. And the fourth case that the Mishnah brought down was about Moli Tarvid Rakov. The Nazir would have Din of Tumas Nazir if he becomes Tummy to a mace through a ladleful of ashes from a corpse. And the Nazir can contract Tumah from this ladleful of corpse ash either through Magav Masa or through Oil HaTumah. And we ended off yesterday with a Gemara defined what a ladleful of the corpse ash was, and we had a machlekes between Chizki and Rabbi Yechon, and we said that machlekes is the same machlekes that we have in a Braisa between Rameya and Rabbanon. And Chizki and Rameya stated that the share is the amount of dust that one can hold in the area of his palm and not including his fingers, and Rameya potentially said it's the area of his fingers which does not include his palm. However, according to the first Tarets of the Gemara, the area of a person's fingers holds the same amount of a shear that would fit into a person's palm, and therefore it's really the same shear, and therefore Rameya and Chizkiyah are saying the same shear. And according to the second Tarets of the Gemara, we explain we could define the Lashon Rameya used to be exactly the same Lashon as Chizkiyah. However, Rabbi Yechron and the Rabbanon hold the shear of Moli Tavid Rakov is the amount that would fit into a person's handful, including his palm and his fingers. And some Rishonim explain that this shear is not one handful, but it's actually two handfuls which are cupped together. And as we discussed, the Rishonim explained that the concept that Rakov could actually be Mtame and a person can become Tame Mace by only coming into contact with corpse dust, which is really a disintegrated body and a disintegrated corpse. And really, this dust should be no different than the dust of his sherets that disintegrated. And we know that that dust would not be Mtame and would not be considered Avatumah. However, there's Halacha Mishiva Sinai that states that even though the corpse disintegrated, if you have a ladle full of this dust, it would be Mtame someone to become Tame Mace, and that would occur either through Maga, through Masa, or to Oil HaMeis. However, as we'll see in today's Gemara, that since Lamaisa, this is a Chiddush of the Torah, and a Chiddush based on Halacha Mishmei Sinai, therefore, in L'chaboy El Chiddushai, and we restrict this concept of Tumah to very specific scenarios. And the Gemara begins, Tanur Banan, we learned in the Braisa that the only way that the Din of Rakov applies is only if there is no foreign substance that was mixed into the Rakov and mixed into the corpse dust. And as the Gemara says, Ezu Meshiyesh L'Rakov, what scenario does the Tumah of Rakov apply, and if someone comes into contact with that dust, he would be considered Tamei Meis, is only in a very specific scenario of a Mes Shenikba Arim, if a corpse was buried without any clothing, and he was also buried Ba'arin Shel Shayesh in a coffin made of marble, Oyal Gabi Ritzba Shel Avanim, or he was placed on a stone floor, Zeo Meis Shiesh Loi Rakov. In that case, the dinner of a Tumas Meis based on Rakov would apply, and the reason is that since you have a pure corpse over here, and nothing else could have gotten mixed up with the dust, therefore it's possible to say that this is considered Rakov, and it has a din of Tumas Rakov. However, Nikba Biksusai, if the corpse was buried with some sort of a garment, or even if the corpse was buried without clothing, but Ba'arin Shel Eitz, he was buried in a coffin of wood, Oyal Gabi Ritzba Shel Avanim, or he was buried without clothing, but he was buried on a floor made of crushed bricks, Zel Mei She'en L'Rakov, in this case, the Din of Rakov would not apply, and even if someone takes a Mo Tavid Rakov of the dust that was in that area where the mess was buried, this dust would not transmit Tumas Meis, and the reason is because when a person's buried with clothing, so just like the person's body disintegrates, so the clothing will also disintegrate and will mix together with the dust of the corpse, and a wood coffin also will disintegrate, and some of the dust of the wood coffin will also get mixed up with the dust of the corpse, and certainly the broken bricks will definitely get mixed into the dust of the corpse. Since this dust is not a pure dust of the corpse, therefore the din of Rakov doesn't apply. This would be true, for example, even if you had a large body and you only had a little bit of cloth here, and you find a lot of dust over there, and therefore certainly in this amount of dust you have a ladle full of dust that came from the disintegrated body. However, as we explained, this is not based on a svara, it's based on restricting the halacha Mishmei Sinai, and since this is all based on halacha Mishmei Sinai, so therefore in l'chabari el chidushai, and we restrict the chiddush of rakov to very specific scenarios. And the Gemara continues, Amu Ula will now teach us another restriction, that in rakov el habam minas basa minagidim minatzameis, the only type of rakov which will transmit tumah is only if the rakov actually came from basar together with bones and together with the sinews. However, if you would have rakav that only came from basar or only came from gidin or only came from atzamis, so the halacha mishmisinai rakav would not apply. Now keep in mind, it sounds from the words of Ullah that at the point that you already have the dust of the corpse, and the only way that someone will become tamei from that dust is only if the dust includes parts of the basar of gidim and atzamis. And Rabbi Simcha says that that's impossible to know at that point, because at that point it's already dust and it already was disintegrated. And therefore Rabbi Simcha explains that when Ullah stated ein rakav al abam and abasam and gidim and atzamis, he is referring to the point when the body was buried, and at that point the body had basar, gidim, atzamis. Then ultimately, once that body and atzamis and gidim all disintegrate and you now have a bunch of dust from a corpse, then as long as you have a ladle full of that dust, so the dust will be able to transmit tumas meis. And the Gemara continues, Esvei Rava Ullah. Rava asked a question on Ullah. We have a brisa that states rakav habam min habasar tar, that if you have rakav that came from basar, that will be tar. And it's mashma ha min etzem tamei, that if the dust came from disintegrated bone, that would be tamei. The afagav the lek of basar, even though when you buried these bones there was no basar on those bones. And Ullah answers ema hachi, that the way we understand this brisa is as follows: rakav habam min habasar tar, if you had rakav that only came from basar, then that would be tar. Achiyish etzem basar, until you have bone that's also included together with the basar. And the Gemara responds back to Ullah, but haleka gidim, or even the way you're explaining this brisa, it comes out that the brisa is stating that you only had basar and you didn't have etzem, then it's considered tar. But if the body was composed of basar and etzem, even though there's no gidim and there's no sinews involved, that the din would be that the rakav would be tamei. And you just stated that the only way that rakav is tamei, only if when you buried this mace you had basar, gidim, and atzamais. And Taisa and Rush both asked that l'chayr, why didn't Ullah respond to Rava and say when the brisa stated rakav habam and abasa tar, it means to say that if rakav only came from basar, it's tar, and the only way that it would be tamei is if you also had gidim atzamais together with the basar. And both Taisus and Rush respond that of course that would not make sense, because if so, then the brisa should have stated that even if rakav came from basar and etzem, it would be tar, and then we would have a valid diik by saying that it's muchach that the only way that rakav is tamei is only when you have basar atzamais and gidim. But since the brisa only stated rakav habam and abasa tar, so therefore it's mashma that if it would come from basar and atzamais, then it would be tamei. And the mashmais is that even without gidim, the din of rakav would apply. And Ullah responds that in chenami this is a pshat the brisa. The brisa is teaching us that once you have rakav which was created from basar and etzem, then there's a klal of the efshel basar atzamais b'lo gidim, that it's impossible to have a body that has flesh as well as bones and it doesn't have any sinews that are attaching them. Therefore, since the mashmais of the brisa is that you had basar and atzamais and then you tamei, the reason why the tumah of rakav would apply is because if you had basar and atzamais, then it must have had gidim as well. And the Rosh and Taisus are both bothered that l'chira, if there's a klal of the efshel basar atzamais b'lo gidim, then why did Ullah state ein rakav el habam min habasar min gidim min atzamais? All Ullah should have said is ein rakav el habam min habasar min atzamais, and certainly at that point it would have gidim as well. Taisus explains that actually Ullah is teaching us a chiddush that a nefel shloi niskashuei vara begidim. If you have a case where you have rakav from a nefel where the gidim were not yet formed, its rakav would not be mitame, as in that scenario all you have is etzem and basar and you don't have gidim. However, Taisus continues, Brisa le mayri b'hachi el b'vlad nigma. Brisa is specifically not discussing a case of a nefel shloi niskashuei vara begidim, and it's discussing specifically a case of a regular person or the rakav of a vlad who is further along in development, and the vlad already had basar atzamais and gidim. And the Gemara continues with another din that's relevant to the din of rakav. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Abba Amar Biechran, or Sama Geris Amar Rav Shama bar Abba Amar Biechran, Shnei Mesim Shekarim Zem Zeh, if there are two corpses that are buried together, Nasu Galgalim Zel Zeh, and even though both of the bodies disintegrate and now you have a full share of corpse dust, there would still not be metame. And as we stated before, that Allah Meshmisinai only states that the only way that you can have a din of rakav is only when you have pure rakav from one body. However, since this rakav was created from two bodies, therefore there's a bittul to the din of rakav, and the din of rakav doesn't apply. And the Rishonim struggle with the lashon of galgalin, but the basic understanding of the concept of galgalin is that now it's not considered pure rakav, and therefore it's not going to be metame. The Gemara continues, Masav Rab Nasav Rab Eishia. Rab Nasav Rab Eishia asked the following question, that the brisa states rakav habam in beis mason tamei, that if you have dust that came from two corpses, the din is that that rakav would be metame and it can transmit tumah. And we just said that if you have two bodies that disintegrate in the same spot, the dust of each body is mevatel the dust of the other body, and therefore it's not metame. So l'chayr, how could the brisa state that rakav that came from two corpses would be tame? And Amar Rava states, the case was where they initially buried the bodies separately, and they both were buried in separate kvarim, v'erkivu, and then both bodies disintegrated. Then they took the dust from each kever and they put it together, v'amdu amoli tavi rakav, and now it was the shear of a ladle full of dust. And this scenario, rakav would be metame. And the svara is that even though you need to have pure rakav in order to create the tumah of rakav, but once there is a din of tumah on this dust, then even if you put it together with dust from another mace, then it could be mitzarif to be the shear of a ladle full of dust, and it would still be metame. And both the Rosh and Taisus asked the following question: that l'chayra, why did the Braisa say she'amdu amoli tavid rakav, that at this point it's exactly a ladle full of rakav v'lanishim hamesa, and it's not more than that share? L'chayra, it's irrelevant what the amount of the share is. The chiddush over here is that when you have rakav from body A together with rakav of body B, that they can mitzarif together. And the Rosh doesn't give an answer, and I and Taisus, how Taisus responds. However, other Rishayim explain very simply that l'chayra, the chiddush over here is, number one, it's a mitzarif. Number two, not only would rakav from body A and body B be mitzarif when it's more than the share, and each one individually had the share of a ladle full of rakav, and then they get together, and therefore they're not mevatel each other. But even in this scenario, where between both bodies you only have a moly tavid rakav, and you only have one share of a ladle full of rakav, that the din of rakav would still apply. And since the creation of all of this dust came from each body that was buried separately, therefore the din of rakav applies to all of the dust. And therefore, now that you put together the dust of two bodies, it would still be mitzarif, and the din would be that it would still be metame. And the Gemara continues with another way where you can have a bittul to the din of rakav, and the din of rakav would not apply. So Amar Rav Babachana Rabbi Echran, Gaza Sayre V'Kavri Imai, if they cut off the hair of the mace and they buried the hair of the mace together with the mace, Nas Galgalin, then that actually creates a bittul to the din of rakav, and the din of rakav would not apply, as even though the hair that actually disintegrated was the hair of this specific mace, however, since at the time that you buried the body, this hair was separated from the body, therefore when this hair disintegrates, it mixes together with the dust of the corpse, and therefore this rakav is not pure, and the halacha l'mishna m'sinai rakav does not apply. Our Gemara continues, Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Olos, Kol Shev Meis Tamei, that any part of a dead body would be metame, and as the Rosh says, this it comes to include even the ar, even the skin of a dead body. However, benegei, the skin of a dead body, there's a machlekes if there would be a din tumah midrabanan or a din tumah midraisa. And in any case, the Mishnah continues, Chutz min hashinayim v'asar v'tzipurin, that the only parts of a dead body that's not metame are the teeth, the hair, and the nails of a dead body that are not attached to the body. And the Rosh explains, based on the Gemara Masechtas Nida, that explains that the only things that could be metame b'meis are things that are comparable to bones, and ma'etzem, and just like by bones, shenivra imai, it's created with the person, ve'in gizim machlef, and bone doesn't get replaced at any point, af kol shenivra imai ve'in gizim machlef, and therefore the only things that have a din of tumah meis are things that are created with the person, and they never regenerate, and therefore, yatsu hashinayim shalei nivru imai, so therefore teeth are excluded because they're not created with a person. A person is born without teeth, and yatsu savitziparin sha'afo pi shenivru imai, even though a person is born with hair and with nails. However, gizim machlef, if you cut your nails or you cut your hair, they would regenerate, and therefore teeth, hair, and nails that are separated from a corpse would not be metame and would not transmit tumah even midrabanon. And the Mishnah in Olay sends off v'shas chiburin, when the teeth, hair, and nails of a corpse are still attached to the base, kul and tmeim, they would all be metame. For example, if someone would only come into contact with the teeth, with the hair, or the nails of a corpse that's still attached to the corpse, that person would still become tame. And the same would apply if you use mal on the hair of a corpse that's still attached to the corpse, and it wasn't mal on the rest of the body, and this person would still be considered tamei mace. And the Gemara continues, Boi Chizkia, Chizkia asked the following shayla, and both the Rosh and Taisus bring down two different pshatim, and we will first learn the Gemara as the Rosh and Taisus first pshat. Chizkia's shayla was, Sayra Oimid Ligazes, or Tziperin Oimid Ligazes, if you have hair which is roy to be cut, and as the Rosh says, that it used to be that people had a certain zman that was normal for them to cut their hair and to cut their nails, and the shayla is, my, what would their status be? Miyamina, do we say, Kala Oimid Ligazes, Kigazes Dami, that since it's roy to be cut, therefore it's as if it's cut off of the body, and therefore it's not considered attached to his body, and therefore the din of tumas mace would not apply to this person's hair and to this corpse's nails, even though at this point they're still attached to the body. Oidilma, what do we say? Hashtemiyah, hamichuburin, lemaisa, at this point, the nails and the hair are attached to the body, and therefore if someone touches the hair or the nails of this corpse, they would be considered tumas mace. And the Gemara says, v'nifshilei midrav babachana, we should be able to be patient the shayla of chizkiyah from the din that Rav Babachana taught us, that time mishum de gazes, that the only reason why Rav Babachana said that if you cut off the hair of the mace and it was buried together with the mace, that nasle gagalin, the hair that is now buried separately from the mace, would be you mevatel the din of rakav from this mace is only because it was actually cut off. Holy gazes loy, the mashmois is that if the hair was not cut off, even if it was roy to cut off, the din would be that it does not become galgalin and it's not a bittel to the din of rakav, and therefore the chayrit should be a raya that we don't say kol imid ligzes could gazes dummy in our scenario, and the din would be that if someone comes into contact of a hair of a mace or of the nails of a mace that was roy to cut off, that the person would still be considered tummy based on the fact that he touched something which was attached to the mace. And the Gemara responds that we don't have a raya from the din of Rabbi Baba Chana, because we could explain hachi kama that what Rabbi Baba Chana meant to say is gazes hareza galgalim. That's definitely certain to me that if you had hair which was mamish cut off of the corpse, then definitely that would be considered a bittel to the din of rakav, and the din of rakav would not apply. However, loy gazes mi boyle that in a chanami Rabbi Baba Chana had the same suffix in a case where there was hair that was attached to the mace and the hair was oimid ligzais, that Rabbi Baba Chana didn't say that the din would be that it's considered a bittel to the din of rakav, since he had the same shaila of chizkia, and therefore he had a suffix that maybe in that case the din would be that the rakav would be metame because we don't have any bittel to it because the hair was still attached to the mace. And just to mention the second shot of the Russian Taisis, that they say that potentially chizkia was asking on the din of galgalin. Chizkia's shaila was that if you had a mace that was actually buried together with its hair, but that hair was oimid ligzais, do we say that that hair would still be considered bittel, as it's considered that was cut off, and therefore the rakav was not considered pure? Or do we say that even though it was oimid ligzais, it's not considered kegazas dami, and therefore it's considered part of the mace, and therefore the rakav that was created would be considered pure rakav, and therefore it would be able to transmit tumah? Taisa says, umiu kapirish kam mistavra de koya mistisin de chol shev mace tami, as from the hemshach hasugya, it seems that Chizkiya's question is going back on the Mishnah that we quoted from Masechtas Alois, Ayin and Taisus. And the Gemara continues, Boy Rabbi Yemi, Rabbi Yemi asks another Shiloh relevant to Rakav. Rakav haba min ha'ikav ma'o. Would dust that came from the ankle of a corpse have a dinner of Rakav and transmit Tumas Mace, or would not transmit Tumas Mace? And Taisus explains, L'fisha b'kavi shel adam, because on the heel of a person, yesh b'y oivir basa she'in b'y chiyas, it has very thick, dead skin, and therefore, m'bayle igmir b'y Rakav alai, maybe that Lach L'mesh M'sinai was only stated by live flesh that disintegrated, and it was not stated by dead flesh that disintegrated. And the svara would be that since when he was alive, the flesh of his ankle was always dead, so therefore it was always considered kibisar mace, and therefore the din of rakav would not apply. And the Gemara explains, ki gamrina rakav haba mikula mace. Do we say that the only time the Halacha Mishmisina was stated about rakav was only on dust that decomposed from the entire body, avil da'asimin ekav loy, but anything which decomposed from his ankle would not be included in the Halacha Mishmisina rakav, or is there no difference? And even if there is a ladle full of dust that came from the heel of a corpse, the din would be that it would be metamel mace. Keep in mind, even according to the Shaila, there is no suffix that even if there's rakav that's created from a heel, that would not be considered tummy. However, certainly it would not be considered a bittel of the din of rakav if you had a bunch of dust from the rest of the body. However, the Gemara now brings a raya as Toshma, the Tani Rav Nasr Rav Eisha, we learned before from Rav Nasr Rav Eisha, rakav abba mishnei mesim tummy, that if you have dust that came from two mesim, that it would be metame. Rav explained that the case was where they buried each individual mace by themselves, and then v'kivu v'amdu amoli tavid rakav, that all that was left was the exact share of a ladle full of dust, even though the dust came from two mesim, it would be mitzdarif and it would be metame. And the Gemara now wants to bring raya v'isak daita chabam min ha'ikav loy, if you're going to say that any dust that comes from an ankle would not have a din of rakav, zil hacha dul madarach akav kasi, so then if you go and you're trying to take the share over here and you're going to say that's exactly a ladle full, but maybe some of the decomposed ankle of corpse number one actually is included in this ladle full of dust, and therefore you don't have a full ladle full of dust of rakav tami v'hacha dil maderach akav kasi. And also when you look at corpse number two, you also have to say that maybe part of the dust that came from corpse number two was also from its heel, and therefore at this point you don't have a full ladle full of dust of rakav that it's tami, which has to come from the rest of the body, and it can't have any part of the akev that was included and that was mitzdarif to that exact share of the ladle full of dust. And the Gemara responds that it's not a raya from the brayso that Rav Nasr Rav Eisha mentioned, because hechi dami, what are we referring to? Ida erkav kulei mace v'kaasi derech ekav hachinami, that in a chinami, if the entire body would decompose, and together with the dust of the entire body, there is also mixed into it some of the dust of the heel, and even if the entire amount is only equal to a ladle full of dust, then even Rabbi Yemiya did not have a shayla, and certainly in that case, that rakav would be mitame, as lemaisa, you'll look at this as if it's considered part of the entire body, and even though the heel is part of the body, body, its dust will definitely combine with the dust of the rest of the body and will create the shear, and therefore it will be metame, and if someone touches that rekav, they will become tame meis. However, Rabbi Yemi's shaila was in the following case. The case of Rabbi Yemi was going to irkav chad eva, the only eva of the meis that was buried in this spot and that disintegrated was actually the leg of the meis, which included the ankle as well. And the kasi derech ekav, and since the ekav was included with the eva, and the shaila was in this case mai, and as Taisus points out, the ikalim eva over here we could say lefi she'in chiyus bebasa ekav, since the skin of the ankle is dead, and therefore mi'al hakav, maybe that caused the rest of the body to decompose quicker, and maybe in such a scenario the halacha l'mishivin sina was not stated, and in this scenario rekav would not be metame. And regarding the shaila, the gemara ends off teku, and the gemara continues by Rav Yemiya. Rav Yemiya asked the following shaila: uba me'isha havigal galam oloi, if a woman who is pregnant dies and her fetus is still in her womb, and they buried this woman together with her fetus, and the question is if that rekav would be considered pure and it would be metame, or do we say that since there is an uber that's together with the basa of the woman, so therefore it's not considered pure rekav and it would not be metame? And the gemara explains, kivin da amamara, since we learned uba yarachimai, that generally we say that an uber is considered a part of his mother, hilkach gufahu, so therefore it's considered like her guf, lo yehav galgalin, therefore all of her dust is considered pure with nothing added in, and the din of rekav applies. Oidilma, what do we say, kivin da seifi lotis mifish parashmina, that since this embryo was eventually going to come out of her body when it was born, therefore we do not look at it as if it's part of her body even at this point, and we consider the vlad as a separate entity, and therefore, as Taisa says, kishnei mesim shekoven zem zeh, it's considered as if they bury two bodies together, where we said before that all agree, since when the rakav was created, it was not from one body, so the din of rakav doesn't apply. And over here also, since the woman was buried together with her fetus, so therefore we look at it as two bodies, and the din of rakav doesn't apply. And the Gemara states, for imtim sleiman, if you're going to tell me uba de sefer lotzes mifish parashmina, then regarding an uba, certainly the din is that's considered as two separate entities, and therefore the din of rakav doesn't apply. And we continue on daftanun aleph and beis. And the Gemara now asks, shechpe zera b'meisha ma'u, what would happen if when the woman dies she had shechpe zera in her body? And the question is, mi aminon kibin lo itza ki gufa dami, that since l'maisa the shechpe zera was not koiled while she was alive and did not form into an embryo, therefore the shechpe zera is considered like a part of a body. Any rakav that would be created would have a din of rakav and would be metame and transmit tumah. And as Taisa says, shle neitza havlad adayin, that since the vlad did not yet form ki gufa, therefore the shechpe v'zera is like a part of a body, as shechpe v'zera is not like a vlad, because shari ain't safe for lifrish mimena, because it will never come out from her body, and therefore it becomes like part of a body. Oidilma, what do we say? Kivnim al mekasi loy, that since l'maisa the shechpe v'zera is a foreign outside substance, so therefore it's not considered like part of a body, and this would be more comparable to a case where you buried a woman and you buried her here, which was detached from a body together with her. In that case, we stated that the rakav is not considered pure because it has the foreign substance of her here that was added into it, and therefore the din of rakav doesn't apply, and the rakav would not transmit tumas meis. And the gemara continues with another shaila: boira papa pir shumau, be a din of rakav when a woman is buried and she had waste inside her intestines. And Rav Papa explains the shaila: kim le mekayma bedloy achla chiyusu, do we say that since a person cannot survive without having food, therefore any food that's in her body and any waste that's in the air subsequently would be considered part of a body, and it's not considered gagalim, and the rakav is considered pure, and therefore this rakav would be metame and would transmit tumas hemes. Oidilma, what do we say? Hanami ma'alma asu, lemaisa, the food and the subsequent waste came from foreign outside substance and it's not really part of a body, and therefore would be considered galgalim, and therefore any dust that comes from this body would be considered as mixed with a foreign substance and it's not considered pure, and the halacha l'mishum sinai of rakav would not apply and it would not transmit tumas meis. Even though based on the lashon of the Gemara it seems that this shaila of Papa was only regarding a woman that died and was buried together with her waste, however Taisa says that this shaila would be negaya to a male as well. And as Taisa says, v'agav sheshal uba b'mei isha b'nekeva, since the previous shaila of the Gemara that Rav Yemiya asked was relevant to a nekeva and not to a zacha, therefore shal nam b'pirsha, therefore we also discuss the case of a nekeva b'negeya her waste v'uhadim b'zacha, but the same shaila applies by a male. And the Gemara continues, by Rav Acha b'rei Rav Ika, oyremau, if a corpse is buried together with its skin, would that be considered galgalin, or would it not be considered galgalin, and it would be have a din of rakav? And the rush that's brought in the Shittim and Gubetza states that mistavali, that makes sense to me, and the that the shaila over here is lamanda omar or tar minatayar, according to the mandam that says or is not mitamim meis midiraisa, therefore hilkach ikalusvuke shemalei choshev kibasa meis, maybe it's not considered kibasa meis vinasle galgalin, and it's considered like a foreign substance, and therefore any rakav that forms from this body would not be considered pure, and the halacha Misina Rukav would not apply. And the Gemara continued with a similar shayla. What about if a person is buried together with his saliva and mucus? And the question is, do we consider that a part of his body and therefore it's not galgalim? Or do we say that since we mentioned before that tumas mase is not applicable to saliva and mucus, so therefore it's not considered like part of his body and it would be considered galgalim and the din of Rukav would not apply? So if you're going to tell me that all the things that we just asked about, for example, the waste of a person, his skin, the saliva and mucus of a person are considered foreign substance, and therefore they are galgalim, and they ruin the din of Rukav. So Rukav de metame hech mishkachavsla, how can you ever find a din of Rukav at all? Certainly when you bury a person's body, it will have skin with it, and it'll also have saliva and mucus, as well as waste together with it, and therefore you'll never find a case of Rukav at all, because in all cases, it would be considered galgalim, and it would be mevatel din of Rukav. And the Gemara answers that in a chenami, according to the tzad, that these things would be considered galgalim, then it will only be a very limited case where we would say the din of Rukav at all, and that is in the scenario where a person is buried without any skin, without any waste, and without any saliva and mucus. Rav Papa explains the Ashkim made the kolim v'sachin nasha v'sholku b'mei Tveria. Right before this person died, he drank a lot of date juice and therefore cleansed out his body, and certainly he doesn't have any more perish. He certainly doesn't have any more waste. In addition, he used some sort of substance which removes a person's hair, and he removed all the hair from his body, and therefore when he was buried, he didn't have any hair. And in addition, after he died, they cooked his body in the hot waters of Tveria, and by doing so, it removed his skin, and therefore this person was buried without waste, without skin, and without saliva and mucus, as well as without any hair, and therefore the din of Rukav would apply l'kuli alma. And in regard to Mei Dekolim, Tosis and the Rishonim bring down from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud that my Mei Dekolim trade dikli ikav masa mechasya. There are two palm trees in masa mechasya, v'nafik mayna de mayim v'menau, and there's a stream of water that's flowing between them. Kasa kamim mapri. If you drink one cup of that juice, it will heal you. V'idach, if you drink another cup, mishashal will cause you to have diarrhea. V'idach, and if you drink a third cup, kehechadayel hachi nafik, it'll totally cleanse out your body. Mishashal saguf u'minake saguf b'yoysa, u'v'kacheva perish v'kichavinaya. According to Tosis, this is the way the person removed his waste as well as saliva and his mucus. Ayinim Farish, who explains that the weight of this corpse did not have any saliva and mucus, is actually based on being sholk b'mei Tveria, as the Mefarish says, shein chamin, which are very hot, v'hufshet oiroi, v'yotza kichavinayoi, and his skin was cooked off his body, and then the kichavinayoi came out of his body. And the Gemara continues, Omar Baya, Baya stated, noktinon, mes shetachtu inlay rekav, that if a corpse did not decompose naturally, but the body was ground up and never actually decomposed, but at this point you still have the dust of the body, so Abaya taught us that this scenario, the halacha mishmisina rekav does not apply. And the Gemara continues, we had the following shayla, tachtai, if they ground up his body, v'chaz v'hirkav, and afterwards it decomposed, and at this point, l'maisa, the body decomposed, and therefore the dust is from a decomposed body. So the shayla is, midhu taimel, d'ikka basa v'gidim v'atzamis v'ikka, is the din of rekav based on having dust that came from basa, from gidim v'atzamis, and l'maisa in this case, this dust also formed from decomposed basa, gidim v'atzamis, v'dilma k'b'yasa b'inam v'leka, and as Tosis says, k'layma sh'yirka k'maisha haya sh'lay n'shtanim b'b'yasa, that in order to be considered a din of Rukav, it has to be that decomposed based on its natural state, not after the body was already crushed up, and the Gemara ends off, teku. And before we continue with the Gemara, let's just point out that the Gemara later on in Daf Samach Dalam Beis would teach us that a mitzi meis bederech, if someone finds a corpse on the road, kedakai, and it's in a standard way, neitleim tvusasai, then the din is that the meis is kina, it's makim, and therefore, when you want to move that body, you have to move it together with its surrounding area, and you have to take the dirt that was around that body. And we learn that from Pasuk. When Mefarish Leh, as Tosis says over here, that when you're taking the body, you have to take all the soft ground that's around the body. In addition, you have to take three etzpais from virgin soil that's around the body. And this din is not only applicable when someone finds a corpse, but even if there is a mess that was already buried, and then for whatever reason, there was a heta to move those bones. So the din is when you bilaki those atzamais, and not only do you have to take that atzamais, but you have to take all the dirt that's around those atzamais. And we also have to know the din of Shchunas Kvaris, which is a Gemara that's going to be found later on also on Daf Samach Dalam Beis, where the Gemara will say that if you find three corpses in one area and within 4 amis till 8 amis, then we consider that area a Beis HaKvaris, and you have to go and search that entire area to see if there are other mesim that were buried in that area, and therefore they would transmit Tumas Meis. And the Rosh and Tosis both say that these dinim are Halacha L'Mishnah Mesinai, and therefore it's not going to be based on a Svara. And the Gemara therefore continues, Tani Ulu Bachanina, Meshechasa, that if there's a corpse that was missing placing an Eiver at the point that it was buried, any dust that forms from the decomposition of this body would not have a din of Rakav. Number two, if someone finds this body and wants to move this body, it would not have a din of Neitlim Tufusasai, and he would be able to take the body out without removing the dirt that surrounds it. Number three, since this body is Chasa, this body would not count towards the minimum three corpses that we need in order to create a Shchunas Kvaras. And the Gemara continues, Mesvei, let us ask a question on the din of Ulubachanina. And the Mishnah Masechtas Idyas is discussing a machlokes between Tanoim as to what the din would be if you have a kazayas from a piece of Eiver Min HaChai that is perished from the Eiver Min HaChai. And the Shaila is that kazayas going to be Mitame just like Eiver Min HaMeis, or is it not going to be Mitame and it does not have a din like an Eiver Min HaMeis? And according to the Man Omer that says that it does not have a din of Eiver Min HaMeis, and therefore it's not Mitame, so that Man Omer brings a riot to Shita, as we see a chilip between a Meis and a Chai. And as the Mishnah over there stated, that Eiver Min HaMeis is different than Eiver Min HaChai, as we find three chumras b'negei HaMeis that we don't find b'negei HaChai. Number one, Roi Binyan or Roi Minyan would be Metame. Number two, Roi V'Kavatzameis of the Meis would be Metame Ba'il. And number three, that if you find a ladle full of dust of the Meis, it would be Metame Ba'il. Therefore, it makes sense that a Kazayis Basa that comes from an Eiver Min HaMeis would be Metame. However, a Kazayis Basa that comes from an Eiver Min HaChai will not be Metame, since we don't find these chumras. And the Gemara says, one of the things that we said that we don't find by a Chai is the din of Moly Tav Rakav, and the din of Rakav doesn't apply to a Chai. And the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what are we referring to? The Erek of Chad Eva, if we're talking about a case where, for example, a person's Eva was amputated, and now that Eva disintegrates, and now you had the dust of that Eva, the Mishnah is teaching us that the din of Rakav doesn't apply by a Chai, but in the same scenario, by Eva Min HaMeis, the din of Rakav would apply. And as the Gemara says, the Kavose Gav HaMeis, Afilu Chad Eva Ikka Rakav, and in the same scenario of an Eva Min HaMeis, even though it's only one Eva, the din of Rakav would apply. But L'chaira Ula Berb Chanina just taught us that the din of Rakav doesn't apply if the body was not a complete body and it was missing a limb, and therefore certainly when you only have one Eva, the din of Rakav by a Meis would not apply either. And how can we say that this is a Chumrah of Eva Min HaMeis over Eva Min HaChai? And the Gemara responds that this is not a question on Ula Berb Chanina, because Miktani HaMeis does the Mishnah over there state a Diyak and say that if it would be a case of an Eva Min HaMeis that the din of Rakav would apply, certainly the Mishnah understood this din of Ula, that the only way that Rakav applies is only when you have a complete body, and if you only had an Eiver Min HaMeis, the din of Rakav would not apply. And what the Mishnah meant to say when it stated that there is a Chumrah b'negei HaMeis, that Meloi Tav Rakav is Metame, is Hakamashmal, and it's teaching us as follows: Shum Meis Yesh Loi Rakav, Shum Chai Ein Loi Rakav, b'negei a corpse, we find the din of Rakav, at least in the case where you buried a complete body, and that body disintegrated, and that offer would be Metame. However, by a live person and a live Eiver, we never find the din of Rakav at all, and we never find that Rakav is Metame. And the Gemara continues with another Shaila, Bayi Rava, Hekav Kshu Chai, if a person had his limb amputated and his limb already started decomposing the Chazo Meis, and then he died, and then they buried this limb together with the rest of his body, how would the din of Rakav apply? And the Gemara explains, Kigamiri Garakav, the Erkav Kshu Meis, do we say that the only time that we understand that there's a concept of Rakav is only when the dust actually formed once he already died? However, since this dust was already around prior to the person dying, therefore the din of Rakav doesn't apply, and therefore this dust would not be considered Tame. Or Dilma, what do we say? The person's dead at this point, and this Eva was buried together with the rest of the corpse, and therefore the din of Rakav would apply. And the Gemara continues, Tashma, bring a raya from the same Mishnah that we brought from Masechtas Idyas. As we stated, the Manda Amo hold that a Kazayas Parabasa that comes from an Eva Min HaChai would not be Metame, brings a raya from the following, as Loyim Amrit B'meis, Sheishli Reiv Reiv Molotav Rakav, that we can understand why Kazayas that comes from an Eva Min HaMeis will be Metame. It's because it has three chumers, as it's Metame B'Reiv Reiva and B'Molei Tav Rakav. However, Taima B'Chai, that it doesn't have these three chumras. The Gemara wants to be Pesha the Shaila from this Mishnah, as Taima Mishum Chai, that the only reason why we said that the B'Molei Tav Rakav is not Metame is because the person is still alive. However, HaMeis Yesh Loi Rakav, it's Mashma, that the person would be dead, even though that this dust came from Eiver Min HaChai, and it actually formed even before the person died. However, since the person at this point is dead, therefore this dust would be considered Tame. And the Gemara responds that this is not a Raya, Miktani HaMeis, that the Mishnah state that if the person dies, then the dust that came from his Eiver Min HaChai would be considered Tame. It's not true. Really, that dust would not be considered Tame, since Lamaisa came from Eiver Min HaChai. And Hakamashmon, what that Mishnah meant to say is the Shum Meis Yesh Loi Rakav, that we find that the concept of Rakav applies at least to some part of a person's body that's already dead. However, Shum Chai Ein Loi Rakav. However, B'negei, a living person, we never find a concept of Rakav. And even if you had Eiver Min HaChai that came from a living person, so there is no din of Rakav on that Eiver Min HaChai, even after the a person dies and he's no longer alive, and we will stop over here.